Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Revision Made Easy. And in today's episode, we will be covering two topics. The first one is the Promised Land and the covenant with Abraham, and the second one is the covenant at Sinai and the Ten Commandments. I decided to put these two topics into one episode because I think they link really well with each other, and their main focus is covenant, and I kind of wanted to like make that one episode rather than two separate ones, and you guys will just have to listen to two separate ones, but I thought it'd be more efficient for you guys. So the Promised Land and the covenant with Abraham. Key information: the Promised Land is the land of Canaan, which God promised to Abraham and the Jews. After Abraham had traveled to Canaan, he made a covenant, which means agreement with God. God promised Abraham he would be the father of many nations. In return, Abraham was required to live a life dedicated to God. Key terms. The first key term is monotheism, which means belief in one God. The second is Promised Land, which is the land of Canaan that God promised to the Jews. The third is covenant, which is an agreement in Judaism. It refers to an agreement between individuals on behalf of the Jews and God. And the fourth final key term for today's episode is circumcision, which is a removal of the foreskin from their penis. Abraham and the Promised Land. Abraham traveled to Canaan after he was promised the land by God, as a place where Abraham and his descendants could make a great nation. Abraham was born in the city of Ur, probably in the 20th or 19th century BCE, which means before Common Era. At that time, people worshipped idols and many different gods. From an early age, Abraham became convinced there was only one God who had created everything, and that worshipping idols was wrong. Abraham tried to convince the people in Ur to stop worshipping idols, but had little success. Abraham and some of his family, including his wife Sarah, decided to leave Ur to travel to Canaan. Before they reached Canaan, they settled on their way at Haran in northern Mesopotamia. Many years later, God told Abraham to continue the journey to Canaan, promising to make a great nation through him. Genesis 12, chapter 12, verses 1 to 12, 2 states, "The Lord said to Abraham," which was Abraham's former name before God changed it to Abraham, "Go forth from your native land and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you." Once Abraham and Sarah reached Canaan, God told Abraham, "I give you all the land that you see to you and your offspring forever." Genesis chapter 13, verse 15. This became known as the Promised Land. The covenant with Abraham. In Judaism, a covenant is an agreement between God and an individual person made on behalf of the rest of the Jews. Various covenants have been made during the history of Judaism, and Jews believe these covenants are still binding today. After Abraham travelled to Canaan, God made a covenant with him. The patriarchal period was established of a covenant where God agreed to love humanity, and humanity agreed to love God rather than the many gods. Jews represent God's chosen people, and Canaan, which includes present-day Israel, is known as the Promised Land. It's quite iconic that God promised Abraham that he will make a great nation out of Abraham, because Abraham was 100 years old and his wife Sarah was 90 years old when they conceived and had a baby boy, and his name was Isaac. So many people would not have thought she would have been able to have a child, because she was barren, two, she was 90 years old, and she's physically, like, it would be physically challenging for her to carry a whole baby at 90 years old, and three, it's basically scientifically impossible at that age to carry a child at 90 years old when you have menopause, like when menopause starts 40 to 50 years earlier. So it's quite an amazing miracle that God has performed, and it's one of the many reasons why Christians and Jews believe that God is a miracle working God. So just a bit of context for you guys, if you're not a Christian and you're not familiar with the reason and motive behind that promise. In Judaism, what did God promise? God promised to make Abraham the father of many nations. What was required of Abraham? Abraham had to agree to walk in my, which is God's, ways and be blameless. Genesis chapter 17 verse 1. How was the covenant sealed? Through the action of circumcision, which is the removal of the foreskin from the penis. Abraham proved his acceptance of the covenant by being circumcised himself and by circumcising all the males in his household. How did God keep his side of the covenant? To make Abraham the father of many nations, God made it possible for Abraham's wife to conceive, despite the fact that she was very, very old. Sarah gave birth to a son called Isaac. His birth is seen by some as a gift from God to mark the start of the covenant between Abraham and God. So this brings us to the end of the first part of today's episode. So now I'll be moving on to the second part, which is the covenant at Sinai and the Ten Commandments. Key information. The covenant at Sinai is the covenant between God and Moses, who represented the Jewish people. This requires Jews to follow God's laws, including the Ten Commandments, in return for his protection and blessing. The Ten Commandments are 10 laws which were given to Moses by God after the Jews escaped from Egypt. The escape from Egypt. The Ten Commandments were given to the Jews after they escaped from slavery in Egypt. About 400 years after God made the covenant with Abraham, the Jews were being forced to work as slaves in Egypt. So a bit of context. Abraham's wife gave birth to a boy called Isaac. Isaac then got married to Rebecca, and then they had twins, Jacob and Esau. Jacob basically stole Esau's blessing as being the firstborn son with the help of the mother, Rebecca. So he fled and ran away because he was scared that his brother would find out and probably kill him. Jacob, basically, in the Bible, it describes Jacob fighting an angel because he wanted a blessing from God. So God changed Jacob's name to Israel. So his name was Israel, and basically that's the name of the country as well, if that makes sense. And then Jacob worked for his uncle called Laban, I think. I need to be sorry, I'm not 100% know if I've got these names right. Laban, and he worked for his wife for 7 years. He wanted to marry Rachel, the youngest daughter, but in those times it was custom that the first daughter should get married first because she is the first daughter. But Jacob didn't really find Leah attractive and he liked Rachel more. So he worked for 7 years to get Rachel, but then his uncle cheated him and basically gave him his oldest daughter, and he said that if you want my youngest daughter, you have to work another 7 years. And polygamous relationships then were not uncommon. So he worked another 7 years, so basically 14 years in total, to marry the love of his life, which was Rachel. And Rachel couldn't have children, so he had 10 children with the first wife, Leah, 10 boys. And then after a while, like a long time, after some kind of miracle, Rachel was able to conceive and she had her son called Joseph. Now Joseph, because Jacob loved Joseph so much because he loved Rachel, he made a nice coat for Joseph. Some of you guys may have heard of the film Joseph and his many colored coats, or technicolor coats, or something like that. And then all the other brothers were like really jealous of him because like Joseph gets all this nice treatment and all this favor from the dad. He doesn't have to work hard, all he has to do is read. He basically studied and read books and all that kind of stuff, and He didn't have to do like hard labor like his older brothers were doing. And he also had dreams that he was like basically like a leader, kind of like a head of it, the head of his family, even though he's the youngest. So the brothers were like to the oldest son, Reuben, I think that's his name, to the oldest son, they were like, oh, he's having this dream about being like the leader of the family, but you're the oldest, you're the leader of the family by birth, like this shouldn't be happening, blah, blah, blah. So there was a lot of tension. And then basically the brother sold Joseph to some Egyptians, and he worked as a slave in the house of Potiphar, who was like some kind of leader in Egypt. He wasn't like the pharaoh, but he was like one of the most important people in Egypt. And then Potiphar's wife found Joseph attractive. She wanted to sleep with him, and Joseph said no. She accused him of rape. Potiphar was angry, threw him into prison. He stayed in the prison for quite a while. And then he had a dream that one of the prisoners that were with him in the jail would like have another chance to redeem themselves, and basically because one of them was like a cupbearer or something, so he would like he would be really successful in that area. And yeah, so Joseph asked that man to when you get out of jail, tell Potiphar about me, tell him that I can interpret dreams and like remind him basically about me. So the guy did do that after a very long time, of course. And then Potiphar freed Joseph. He made him like, he like basically promoted him and then made him like really successful, and he became the second in command in the whole of Egypt. And then when a time of famine came, Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to collect some food, some grains. Then Joseph saw him and he was like shocked, because you know, like his dream basically came to pass. Even though he was sold as a slave, he ended up being like a really powerful leader, basically the prime minister at that time. He became a really powerful leader, and his brothers were coming to him for food and not the other way around. So he was really shocked at first. He told them to go. He took one of the brothers, I'm not sure if it was youngest, told them to go back to where they came from and bring the father and the whole family here if you want like the son back. So they did that, and then Joseph like hugged them all and he said, I'm Joseph, don't you remember me, the one that you sold into slavery. And then I think he said something like, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. And yeah, they were all really happy, and he invited the whole family into Israel, and then into Egypt. Then the family grew and expanded, and then that's how the Hebrews basically came about through Joseph. So you can see that little like timeline that I've just taken you through, and that's basically the whole context of how they got there. So after Jacob's family got there, the population multiplied, they had loads of children, all of that kind of stuff. And then when Joseph died and the Pharaoh changed, the Pharaoh didn't like the Jews, they didn't like the Hebrews, they didn't like, well, why I say the Jews, Hebrews and Israelites, they're all basically the same thing. So he didn't like them, so he basically turned them into slaves, and that is where we are now. So 400 years after God made the covenant with Abraham, the Jews were being forced to work as slaves in Egypt. God chose Moses to lead their escape. He told Moses to ask the Egyptian Pharaoh to release the Jews from slavery so they could return to Canaan. And there's that that famous saying, let my people go, you know, that saying, sorry. After God had sent a number of plagues to Egypt, 10 to be exact, the Pharaoh finally agreed to release the Jews. The Jews left Egypt and wandered for many years in the desert in the Sinai region between Egypt and Canaan. When they arrived at Mount Sinai, Moses climbed the mountain, leaving the rest of the Jews at the base. This is where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. These were carved on two tablets of stone that Moses carried down to the mountain. So here's a little bit of background information about Moses. Moses was raised by Egyptians. So Moses was a Jew originally, and then At the time of when he was born, the Pharaoh was killing a lot of Israelites because they were multiplying a lot, like rapidly, and he was kind of scared that they would basically overthrow them, the people already. I think it was the Egyptians. He was kind of scared that he was going to overthrow the Israelites were going to overthrow the Egyptians. So Moses' mother put him in a basket and then put him in a river, and then his sister like watched him whilst he was floating on the river. Then the Egyptian princess, the Pharaoh's daughter, saw the baby in the basket and basically adopted him and hired Moses' mother to be the nurse. She didn't know it was Moses' mother, but coincidentally she was, and she hired him to be the nurse. And then basically Moses grew up as a royal, so basically as the Pharaoh's grandson, I think, Pharaoh's grandson, and he grew up as a royal, living a life of luxury and all that kind of stuff. And then one day when Joseph went out for like a little walk, he saw the way the Egyptians were maltreating the Jews, and he just had this feeling in his heart because he knew he wasn't like a proper Egyptian. Like, even his appearance was different. He knew that he wasn't like he wasn't born, his originality was not Egyptian. So he just had this like pain in his heart when he saw the Israelites being maltreated. So he ended up killing the slave master, the person who was beating the slave, and then he ran away because that's basically, he's not meant to do that. So he ran away, he became a fugitive, and then like he went to the hills or something, found this campsite where these people were, married like some person's daughter, had children, and basically lived his life there. And then you have the story of the Burning Bush and blah 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 blah. Now I'm not going to go into too much detail about that, otherwise this episode will become incredibly long. So yeah, that was a bit of background information about Moses. His first encounter with God was with the burning bush, where God tells Moses to take off his shoes because he's standing on holy ground. He tells Moses to basically, your assignment is to go to Egypt, free the slaves and take them to the promised land. Fun fact, Moses actually never went to the promised land because he got angry with God, and then instead of like, I think tapping the stone or something, he like stroke it, like he hit the stone, and basically the stone was basically God. And then yeah, he made God angry, so God told him that you will see the promised land, which he did, but he will never enter it, and he died. And up to this day nobody knows where Moses was buried, only God knows. Yes, that was a bit of a nice information. Moses did part the Red Sea. He led the Hebrews out of Egypt. So that is the background information about Moses, just to put it in a bit of context and to enhance your understanding a little bit. So the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments form the foundation of Jewish law. They give Jews important guidance on how to have a good relationship with God, which are the first four commandments, and how to have good relationships with each other to create a peaceful society, which are the last six commandments. They are recorded in Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 to 14, and they go as follows. The first one is, you shall have no other gods besides me. The second one is, you shall not make for yourself a sculptured image or any likeness. The third one is, you shall not swear falsely by the name of the Lord your God. So basically saying, oh my God, or stuff like that. Number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. And at church we learned that this was the fifth commandment was the first promise in the Bible, the first covenant in the Bible that came with a promise, basically. So in the Bible it says, honor your father and your mother, and you shall live long, basically. The sixth commandment is, you shall not murder. The seventh is, you shall not commit adultery. The eighth is, you shall not steal. The ninth is, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, which basically means lying, you should not lie. And the tenth one is, you shall not covet, which basically means you should not be jealous of your neighbor. You shouldn't be jealous of your neighbor's wife, you shouldn't be jealous of the neighbor, you shouldn't be jealous of your neighbor's objects or the things that he has. Basically, that is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments form the basis of the covenant at Sinai. This is a covenant between God and the Jews, which was agreed at Mount Sinai under the following terms. God would protect the Jews from harm and be their God. In return, Jews would have to obey his laws, including the Ten Commandments and the other laws in the Torah, the other 603 laws in the Torah. This covenant is one of the main reasons why Jews believe they are the chosen people of God. Yes, this is basically the end of the episode. So in your exam, you might get a 12 mark question, because I know we did an activity in class where we got a 12 mark question, which was like, how relevant, it was a statement like, the Ten Commandments are not relevant today, evaluate this statement, give statements for whether you agree or not. So I'm just going to give you a list of why the Ten Commandments are relevant today. So the first commandment is not really relevant today in our society, as many people admire celebrities, historic figures, and even objects. So the first commandment was about not worshipping idols. That kind of happens because people have celebrities, people admire historic figures, and people even admire objects, believe it or not. The second commandment is not really relevant to our society, as many people say, oh my God, or, you know, that kind of stuff, as colloquial language, which means like chatty, informal language. It is seen as a social norm. However, for Jews and Christians, they try to abstain from saying God's name in vain. The third commandment is relevant because many shops, institutions, and businesses are closed on Sundays. However, the Jewish Sabbath is only observed by Jews. So their Sabbath day is Saturday. Starts from Friday evening, I think. Yeah, but we'll be talking about that in later episodes. The fourth commandment is relevant today, as we often obey our parents and respect them, especially as they do so much for us. The fifth commandment is very relevant today, as you can be prosecuted for murdering someone. However, in the case of self-defense, it might be excluded. The sixth commandment is relevant today, as people who cheat on their partner are often scolded by society. The seventh commandment is absolutely relevant today, as people are often prosecuted for stealing. The eighth commandment is not really that relevant today, as people often tell white lies to protect someone or as a harmless joke. However, those who lie compulsively are branded as untrustworthy people. But in God's eyes, all lies are basically equal, so you should try and not lie. And when you do say white lies, sometimes they build up and they become this whole mess, and you do not want to be involved in that mess. The ninth commandment is extremely relevant today, as we are encouraged not to be jealous of others, as jealousy can lead to other crimes, like in some extreme cases, jealousy can lead to murder. The tenth commandment is irrelevant today because you shouldn't really be lying. I mean, yeah, the Ten Commandments is relevant today. So that was kind of the down low of how relevant the Ten Commandments is today. So that brings me to the end of today's episode. I hope that you enjoyed it and you don't mind that this episode is really long. I just wanted to put some things in context, because when I was learning this specific topic in class, I really was confused. Like, I didn't really understand where I was. But when I came home, sat down and reviewed everything, it all like became clear. So I really hope that you found this useful. I hope that you pardon me for my waffling. Have fun revising. And good luck with your exams.